This has to do with, the reason I'm saying this is because September wants me to, and I partly want to. Is that this thing I have about tangible results. She has to listen to this conversation, she says, every 6 months. I suppose it's probably more often than that, in which I list out this litany of things that are not happening and should be happening. And then she'll tell me that it's not important that they do, and then I'll insist that it is. And that if some physical thing, if I don't make something real, if some physical real thing doesn't come out of something, I can't stand it. I feel like your world is froth, it's just stupid, it's just wandering around, it's just dream, it's just nothing. Then I was trying to think about, and while we were talking, I started thinking about Christ and his work with the disciples largely was zero. I mean, they were total zeros right up, including past the day that he died. They were nothing. Nothing came of it, apparently. Except for the fact that he was transfigured and God spoke to him at his baptism, that you couldn't really say there was any, there was no sign of anything. So, I don't know what, I just say that to you because I don't know. For a long time, I think.
Let me, I know what's going on.
Okay. It's like for the longest part of my life, I really was in a dream world. I really did live in a dream world. Just vaguely, floated around. If I conjectured it in my head, then that was sufficient. But across the last, 4 or 5 years, I've been exactly, 180 degrees the opposite. So much so that I almost won't do anything unless I think that soon. I mean, that's why I like computers so much, because you work them, and it either works or it doesn't work, and you know right away.
Okay. Do you understand that this thing that we've talked about the different classes of people, and it's right. I mean, it's the way it's supposed to be, that there's the one kind of people that they need effort expended, results seen. It has to happen. Effort, results. And these are the workers, the artists, a lot of different people, computer people. Because it's effort expended, results seen, instant. There's another kind that it's effort expended, and it's a reasonable length of time before you see results. Accounting.
Patty people.
Advertising.
Speech therapy.
Radio.
Teachers.
Teachers.
Administration in general. The third kind of people are the kind of people that there's effort expended, and there may never in their lifetime be results seen.
Market research.
No.
No.
People who found nations and shit like that.
Yeah.
Even people who write books.
Now, in your dream world, the reason you lived in your dream world or imaginations was that for a time, as a child, the results that you could conjure in your mind were equal to the results that you could have in the flesh. It didn't matter whether it was in your mind or in the flesh. Now, you're putting away the childish things. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the thing that has to take place now in you is the transference. Because of your particular high place identity, the only result or the only thing tangible that will be important to you or that will cause you to be able to feel complete or completed, believe it or not, is eating. But eating with, it's breaking bread together. The act of breaking bread will cause, that's what will cause you the joy. I don't know if, am I communicating or not? There's no There's no project or thing or money or plan or idea or anything that can satisfy you or can cause you to have joy. The only thing that you can have joy in is breaking bread.
You know, something just popped in my mind. I think this is connected. September. When I leave a place, like the Pentecost thing, you know, I have to go find someone to say goodbye to. I don't care, you know, if it's my best friend, that's good, but it has to be somebody. And we take note of the fact that we are leaving. I think that's, you know, I think that's tied up because I...
You have to touch flesh, because if you don't touch flesh, you will disappear. And flesh has to be ordered, obviously, or ranked. But any flesh is better than no flesh.
Okay.
But the reason that you have to touch people, it's really the young man's state in preparation for the fatherhood, is that it's the act of causing a disciple to come into being. That then that person can be your joy, your reality. Do you understand? Or do you agree? Does everybody understand what I'm talking about?
I understand. Yeah. I get little flashes, I don't.
Yeah, I don't understand the breaking bread part.
You don't? Okay.
Well, I understand anything else because I don't.
Go to Luke 24.
Luke 24. The other part, you know.
Luke 24.
The weird thing is, you know, if you really want results, then you're always doomed to anxiety because as soon as results arrive, you have to get other results.
Yeah.
And it takes time for results to arrive.
Yes, there are a lot of us in that position.
So, I mean,
it's
I don't
unending
really
torment.
That.
So, I mean, Luke 24.
Wow.
Hmm?
I don't. There's something going on here that's like really big, and I can feel it. I don't understand it, but it's big.
Well, let's just Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Now, that's a biggie. You got to keep that phrase in mind for what we're talking about here, okay? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
It seems strange, and they believed not the idle tales, yet Peter ran to the tomb.
Now, the next part of this narrative is written, is Luke writing this, okay? So Luke was just repeating this stuff up here as a reporter. Now he's gone into to his own experience of it. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now, you and I each have to be at this moment. You have to be the other one with Luke walking to Emmaus right now in your mind. Otherwise, this will be just like reading some dumb book. You understand? And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. I mean, that's almost hard to believe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. No.
How many times do we?
No, but this is talking about the physical Christ that they had spent time with and seen, talked to.
Was it because their minds couldn't comprehend or couldn't allow them to believe that that could be him, or was he in the guise of another, or what?
Yeah, because it was Matt that was walking with them. But their eyes were holden and they couldn't see Jesus. Because it was Angela that was walking with them, but their eyes were holding and they couldn't see Jesus.
So they just saw flesh, or right?
I know that happens all the time to me. What I assume to be a person, what I have decided is that a person like me or Harry or whoever, and then all of a sudden they'll fall away and I'll see and I can't believe it. It comes up all the time.
Okay. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? You can just see him, he's real cool, he's just saying, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. First of all, he's not Jesus Christ now. He was only Jesus of Nazareth to them. And he was not the Messiah. He was only a prophet. Big prophet, but only a prophet to them in their minds.
Is he God?
Yeah. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he, or the Messiah, which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, you have to understand that that's you saying that. You have some a priori definition of what it is that he should do in your life. But if you could see it, then you would think you would believe. You understand me?
Yeah.
Now, this a priori definition of what you have is not to be communed with, talked about, debated over. It's to be confessed as the sin that crucified him. You understand me?
Yes.
Your definition of what reality is sin that has to be confessed and has to be seen as sin. The only way it can be is if you put yourself into this position so that you see your eyes are holden. And besides all that, it's the third day.
So you're Sedges.
He hasn't resurrected himself.
These things should have already happened.
These things should have happened.
If he were resurrected.
If he were resurrected by God, this is what it would look like. This would be the results. This would be the thing. This would be the plan completed. This would be the thing I can massage.
We take a stand with that and say, like,
this is what it should be.
Prove God on this.
But along with that is for sure this is what it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah. I mean, even after that.
You may not know what it is to be, but you are goddamn sure what it ain't. And I promise you that in your surety of what it ain't, your eyes are holding and you're not seeing him.
Like right after that, they even talk about the women finding the sepulchre empty. And I mean, and their explanation is, I mean, this very thing that's happened, I mean, that's as much proof as anything, as they could get. And they're saying, well, isn't this amazing? These women are flipped out.
Telling idle tales. What do you have a definition of that it shouldn't be? Okay, can you, have I communicated with you about what you think it is or what you think it isn't? What resurrection isn't and what resurrection should be. What Christing should be. What faithing should be. Or what it shouldn't be. Every possible definition that you could have is what is crucifying afresh the Son of God. Therefore, there is no sincerity that can have any merit. There is no... You cannot debate with yourself whether you're in one of these people that are... the three kinds of... the classes of people? It doesn't matter. That... The office that those positions represent and their function will be manifested automatically in your abandonment of self. But because you've put your eyes on yourself and you are communing with yourself, that means you're crucifying him afresh because you have a definition of what the moment should look like or what it shouldn't look like.
Yeah.
And so your eyes are beholden.
Your eyes are holden. They're holden because they're looking in a mirror. Please understand me. And I want you tonight to confess where you're looking in a mirror. It doesn't matter if it's something that you think it should be looked like or something you think it shouldn't look like. It doesn't matter if it's something that you think a person should be and he isn't, or he should be and he isn't, or he is and he shouldn't be. You understand? Okay, now. And he said unto them, what things? And that what we've just seen in verse 19 here is some of the what things. You got it? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. We all agree with that. Otherwise he wouldn't be here. Christ was mighty in word indeed. And he was crucified. That's the state of most Christianity. He was mighty in word and deed. What thing? Well, but. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Everybody believes in that. Jesus Christ did come in the flesh.
And those other guys condemned
him to death.
Right.
Yeah. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, which should have made my land as it should be, by my definition, and in the right surroundings, by my definition.
Yeah.
My definition. Yeah. You know, Judas betrayed him, not because of evil monster Satan, as we would see in the pictures, coming in and gigging him. He betrayed him because he did not do what Judas thought he should do.
Mm-hmm.
But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Oh my God, it should have been by now. You can't even define a day, you dumb idiot. Who are you to define what a day is? It's not the third day. What if you're in the North Pole? How many days has it been since he was crucified? None. It's the same day. By your definition of a day.
Or half.
Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that which they had also seen, a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Wow. Jesus is the one who saved Christ.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
Hmm?
Well, it's like...
I understand, fools, slow of heart to believe, but what? He's upbraiding them by saying the things you're worried about and complaining, you were told ahead of time mm-hmm. by him and by the prophets, and all things are exactly as they are supposed to be.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now there's something kind of weird.
Yeah, I wonder, was he faking it? He's going to go on to the next town, and then he changed his mind? Or did he... I mean, what's the deal?
He's doing the same. He's doing the same thing now. Go to Revelation. To keep your finger there. Go to Revelation 3.
Well, for the men, we'll be able to.
I know what you're going to say.
What is he going to say?
Behold, I stand at the door. As many as I love, I rebuke.
Ready.
Revelation. 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay, so we have to hear that this is the Christ, and we have to ask him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you don't hear, if you can visualize this, this moment is happening simultaneously in all moments right now in all places. Can you see that? At every moment, at every place, this is taking place. Okay, back to Luke 24.
But it doesn't look the way we think it should look, and it doesn't feel.
Do you understand? You have to come to this conclusion sometime. That Christ is the ultimate thing. I mean, nothing else can happen. You can't get any higher. You can't get any... I mean, it doesn't matter whatever he's doing. It's the only thing happening. I mean, when he died, all men died. When he's knocking on the door, he's knocking on all doors. At all times. There's only... He is the only thing going on in the universe. Are you getting a hint of that? There's nothing else going on. There's only Jesus. He's not only being crucified at the same time, he's knocking at the same time. He is the two realities at the same time. He's being born at the same time, and he's being crucified at the same time. The Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. You were with him when he was born. You were him when he was born. You were with him when he was crucified. You are him when he is crucified. You were with him when he was resurrected. You are him when he is resurrected. Everything else is a lie. He's the only thing happening. Is that slowly dawning on you? Yeah. Everything we're about, whether it's the feasts or the Bible study, is to cause you to experience the renewing of your mind so you can see what was true from the beginning of the foundation of the world. Yeah. That's the only thing happening, folks. There's no careers. There's no marriages. There's no relationships. There's one thing happening, and everything is a parable of that one thing. So that you have an infinite number of parables to speak to your emotional or intellectual level at any and all times, telling one story.
That's weird, beautiful.
The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. Tell me what else it could mean.
Hey.
There isn't anything else happening. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. Your existence is a lie. Your independent existence is the lie of the world. Your independent little problems are the lie of the universe. Your attempts at defining self based on your relationships with other people are that's doubly a big lie. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. There's only one thing happening. Now, the great mystery of this one thing happening is the most clear place that it's revealed is in the breaking of bread together, the eating together. I'll show you.
Yeah. That's why it's so hard to eat and when any one of us are mad at each other.
You can't.
It's just intolerable.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. He is coming in to tarry with us. He is knocking on the door. He is being crucified. He is being born. He is walking down the road. He is baptized, being baptized. He is upbraiding the sinners. That's the only thing he's doing. That's the only thing that's happening. And it came to pass. Remember what I told you the other night? Every time in the Bible when the words "it came to pass" are there, it's a signal that it will be either joy or trouble. If it's joy, it's unparalleled joy, and if it's trouble, it's unparalleled trouble. Okay? Anytime it says, and it came to pass. What?
And that's the third time it's happened just in this chapter.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's like...
Came to pass as, or in the midst of, or while he sat at meat or at food with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. That's the most ooey-oo thing that's ever been written.
Yeah.
Did he say the
blessed bread?
Nothing. That is, no movie in the universe can top this. No video, music video in the universe can top this. No scary movie can top this. If we could see, if you would have the mist taken off of your eyes, this is the one scariest, ooey-ooest, most joy-filled event in the universe. Their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Why? And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You better believe, they're how many furlongs? It took them, they got there in 2 seconds. And found the 11 gathered and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread.
Simon. What's that? Curious.
Simon Peter. It was an affirmation that the leader had seen him. Peter.
Oh, a bedtime story.
Now. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." They're locked in. They are locked in a room. They are at Mark's house. They are running for their lives. They are hiding out.
It's like God going, "Whoo!"
Yeah. Not only that, but it's like, can you imagine they're going like, "Well, this puts a whole new twist on the situation now." You know, yeah. We were running for our lives, and now this has to happen.
He's saying what he's saying to them, and the truth is, and I can, what we're going to show you, this is why eating is so vital. He's saying to them, "The peace offering to you."
Wow.
Whoa.
Now, you don't know what that means yet fully, but it means that... What?
Nothing, I'm stretching.
But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit, or a ghost is what it says. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Not these thoughts. Why do thoughts arise?
It's like when you're on the hot seat and somebody says, "You're thinking this." Who are you, even worse?
"Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for of spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have you here any meat?" Again. No. But he's showing us something. And while they yet believed not for joy.
Wow.
What does that mean?
Well, either they didn't believe, or they believed, but they weren't happy about it.
Or does it say, "And while they yet believe not, for joy"? I mean, does that read?
I think it means they believed, but they weren't very happy about it.
Or does it mean they refused the joy and therefore didn't believe?
No, they believed to the best of their ability, but not to the extent that it produced joy.
They're freaked out.
Bad. "Have you any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The word Psalms there is the word hagiographa, which means the writings. So it's the law in Moses, the prophets, which is the Haftarah, and the writings concerning me. And what he said was not just those pieces in there that concern me. He said all of the words in the law, the prophets, and the writings, which are me, which concern me. You understand?
Yeah.
"Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Now that's what I pray is taking place in this 3-year cycle. As we're going through all the Psalms, or the writings, the prophets, and the law. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That came to pass, and what he blessed, what he said was, he had to say this according to the law. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what he said. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why? The only thing that changed was they understood the scriptures. Now, I promise you, in that company, there was 120. Now, I don't know if there were all 120 of them were here, and we know that all the disciples were here. That means each disciple, in the spirit, each disciple had 10-minute rest to produce the 120. They knew. They understood the scriptures.
It occurs to me as they believe it, not for joy. It's like we were talking about our own set of reality. You know, he just came in out of thin air. All their rules they made in their mind about how things should be were just totally lost to me. Still in that place of...
How many times have you been in a place where you were in terrible depression? Nothing changed. But in a moment, something was said, and everything changed from depression to joy.
Many times here.
Now you know then that that in itself has to totally destroy the evil one, if you can see, because that causes you to know that it never is the circumstances; it's what you perceive about the circumstances. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Never give breath to the circumstances. Because if you give breath to the circumstances, you're believing, but not for joy. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Now, what the tie-in of all this is back to this breaking of bread and the eating and the meat offering, the peace offering. These are the things. The word fellowship, where we get the word fellowship, is the word koinonia, or communion. And it means when you take the bread, when you go to the Catholic Church, or Catholic Church or any church probably, and they give you the bread and the wine, what do they call it? They call it communion. All communion is you remember I've told you before that all of the offerings were somehow lumped together in the Passover? The Passover predated the law, but was included all the law as a sort of a broad brush picture. Well, when we get now the eating portion, or the blessing, what we see, it is really a picture of the peace offering. The peace offering was the only one in which the offerer and the priest and the priest's children and God shared. Now, that's what every time he says peace, he's talking about having or partaking of the peace offering, because that's what gives you the sustenance to be in a state of having nothing against you.
So when he told Peter that they feed my sheep, feed my sheep.
That's what it was. He was talking about feed him the peace offering. Now, that's why this Nazirite thing is going to be so important, because what we're going to do in this process is learn and understand what the peace offering is, so that you can believe for joy. You are sustained in joy without regard to the circumstances. And that's why in Daryl's case, he's the one, like he's like the lightning rod in this. I mean, he needs it. He gets hungrier quicker than anyone. You understand? That's why he thinks he's always depressed or weird or something. It's just because he's hungry quicker.
High metabolism in the spirit.
Yeah, he's high. He eats up spiritual stuff real quick. But that's a blessing.
Just
go smack him one.
Bite your throat off.
Well, I'm just saying. Yes. And he's a lightning rod for the whole group, I should say.
And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, we had a taste of that Saturday night, of what worship was. True worship. The loss of self-consciousness. I saw Angela. She was in a state of euphoria. I've never seen her before like that. I mean, she was laughing like mad and just totally loss of self-consciousness. She doesn't remember.
That you always talk about. What is that word?
Pecans.
No. Ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy, yeah. Yeah, there was a state of ecstasy. On Saturday night, I mean, it was really
neat. Okay, Joel chapter 2.
Was up in the air. That's why I confused things.
Blow you the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever like the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them as a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots and the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Behold their face, the people, before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, and shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up the houses, they shall enter in the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call an assembly, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and let the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Now, if you believe Hal Lindsey and Dallas Theological Seminary, this is what's going to happen when Russia invades Israel. If you believe me, this is what happened when the Romans destroyed the temple.
Yeah.
You understand? It's a big difference. I mean, it's big Why should it make any difference? The difference it should make is if you believe this is what's going to happen when Russia invades Israel, then you can think that the day of the Lord is going to come in the future. And you can think that the day of the Lord cometh by observation. But you can think that the kingdom of God cometh by observation. There are not many of us that believe what I'm saying to you tonight, that this already happened. Okay, now watch. Verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Now, in other words, he's destroyed everything. Then he's going to be jealous and pity his people. Who is his land? You are. Who is his people? Christ in you. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The word former rain means, if you just translated it out, it means teacher of righteousness. And with the article means a singular. And if the word latter rain means the eloquence of a perfectly cast bell. The former rain is the teacher of righteousness, which he has rained upon us, Christ, on a day of Pentecost. Do you understand? The latter rain is the rain that has blown through your mind that causes you to understand and see and hear with perfect clarity. Now, he's already given it. I think I'm talking Greek. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The first month being what? Rosh Hashanah, when what happened? When Christ was born. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. That's the different elements of the people. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now what does all that say? It says to me that everything in there has already happened because the Bible interprets itself. Peter says that this is what that outpouring was on the day of Pentecost. He quotes Joel. You understand? So he said they are not drunk, but this is what has happened. So the reason this is important to you is that you have to see that there's nothing left to take place in time and space except the renewal of your mind, that you might see that this has already happened. Okay? Now, part of that process, if you believe this, is the dreams. Now, we haven't ever talked about this. But I want to encourage you to encourage you to dream. I want to encourage you to write down your dreams. I want you to be able to tell yourself when you go to bed at night that you will remember your dreams.
I
know the last two nights I've had great ones. I can't remember.
Okay. You can tell yourself that you will remember them. In fact, you can tell yourself you'll wake up. You can command your soul that you. The horrible ones. Well, that's why, but you're dreaming all the time.
I mean, I know that's what they say, yeah. But it's like I don't.
Yeah, I know, but I want you to hear that you can tell yourself to remember your dreams.
The last two nights have been a giant revelation. I know that, but I can't remember.
Okay.
I've been laying there asleep going, wow!
You need Daniel.
Yeah, no, I had a dream this afternoon where I was looking over the road.
I keep finding myself naked in my dreams.
Man, I haven't found that.
Yeah, I'm making a crowd. It's like I'm gonna do something. I think I can't. What am I doing?
Okay.
Yeah, take it, big guy.
Take it, big guy.